You will be sure this gets to Stormalong, said Johnny. But as Lars said nothing, Johnny decided to take it along. They had done it. How he would get himself out of this mess, he didn't know. He was a little puzzled as to why the other two had driven off when the battle plane must still be down there. But he was grateful they were out of it. Let's go, he said. 5. They exited from a different ground-level door, one that was usually locked. Johnny glanced around for a cadet to give Stormalong's kit to and saw no one. I'll see that it's taken to the academy, said Lars, divining his purpose. He must not see too deeply into the dispositions Lars had made, most of which prevented them from being seen by anyone, lest Lars find himself with a battle on his hands from cadets or Russians, some of whom had just arrived at the underground base in the mountains and were a considerable force. A storm was coming in from over the mountains, rolling black clouds studded with lightning around the distant high peak. The wind was picking up and bending the tall brown grass. A few dead leaves fled through the air. Autumn was here. There was a chill in the air on this mile-high plateau. It gave Johnny an eerie feeling, almost a premonition. He had left Africa in a storm, and here was a storm again. He threw the kit in the back and got in. The windows were darkened so no one could see in. With submachine guns trained upon him, they drove toward the capital. Lars was a bad driver, and Johnny could see how he must have gotten the cracked neck the plaster cast advertised. Johnny despised him. Johnny had known lots of Swedes, and they were good people. He had even gathered from Lars's conversation that they despised him, too. The man tried to chatter on about the ancient military leader, but Johnny had had enough. Shut up, he said from the back. You're nothing but a turncoat traitor. I don't see how you can stand yourself, so shut up. It was unwise, but he couldn't go on listening to this insanity. Lars shut up, but his eyes slitted. He suddenly enjoyed the fact that this criminal would be dead in a few hours. The ground car squatted down at a side entrance to the capital never used. There were no people to be seen. There were no people in the corridor, either. Lars had seen to that. They thrust him toward a door. Unseen Brigantes in the shadows kept their guns trained upon him. Two more were in the courtroom in the corners, Thompson's cocked and ready. And there sat Brown Limper. He was at a high desk on a dais. He was in a black robe. Ancient law books flanked him on either side. His face had an unhealthy sheen. His eyes were too bright. He loomed like a vulture about to attack a corpse. Just himself, the Brigante guards, and this Tyler in an otherwise empty room. It was Tyler. He had recognized that the moment the fellow strode through the door. There was an air about this Tyler one couldn't miss. He had hated it since they were children. Hated that easy, confident walk. Hated that set of even features. Hated those light blue eyes. He had hated everything Tyler was and he could never be. But who had the power now? He, Brown Limper. How he had daydreamed of this moment. Tyler, said Brown Limper, come stand in front of the court bench. Answer me. Is your name Johnny Goodboy Tyler? Brown Limper had a recorder running. Such proceedings must be regular and legal. Johnny came to a board stand in front of the bench. What is this farce, Brown Limper? You know my name well enough. Silence, said Brown Limper, hoping his voice was resonant and deep. The prisoner will answer correctly and properly, or become guilty of contempt of court. I see no court, said Johnny. What are you doing in that funny dress? Tyler, I am adding contempt of court to these charges. Add what you please, said Johnny, bored with it. You will not consider this lightly when I read you what you are charged with. This, at present, is just a hearing. In a week or two, a world court will be established and the trial will take place at that time. But as a felon and criminal, you have the right to hear the charges so that you can organize your defense when tried. Now, hear ye, hear ye. You are charged with a count of murder in the first degree, the victims being the Champco brothers, loyal employees of the state, feloniously assaulted with intent to kill and later dying by their own hand due to pain of their wounds. Kidnapping in the first degree, the said Tyler assaulting and feloniously seizing the persons of two coordinators going about their legal duties as agents of the council. Murder and felonious assault upon a peace-loving and unoffending tribe called the Brigantes, including the slaughter of half a commando. Massacre of a convoy of peaceful commercial people going about their business and viciously and maliciously slaughtering them to the last man.
Cyclos, said Johnny. They were cyclos organizing an attack upon this capital.
That's stricken from the records, said Brown Limper.
Indeed, he would have to erase it from this disk.
You are not on trial. These are just the charges that have been brought against you by decent and deserving citizens of this planet. Remain silent and hear the charges.
It is noted by the court, continued Brown Limper, how he had slaved over this parlance from ancient books. He hoped he had it all right and legal.
That numerous other charges could be brought, but at this time have not been brought.
Such as, said Johnny, indifferent to this clown.
When you seized the remote control panel from one Turl and launched the drone against man, it has also been stated that you then and thereupon shot down said Turl when he was in the act of trying to shoot down the drone. However, there being witnesses, undoubtedly perjured and extorted by you to speak false testimony, who speak otherwise, the charges have not been included at this time, though of course they may be brought at some later date.
So that's all you could come up with, said Johnny, with irony. Nothing about stealing baby's milk? I'm surprised.
You won't be so arrogant when you hear the rest of this, threatened Brown Limper. I am an impartial judge, and this is a legal and impartial court. In the interim time pending your trial, you are forbidden to use any more of council property, such as planes, cars, houses, equipment, or tools.
Brown Limper had him.
Quick as a flash, he pulled out the bill of sale of the Earth branch of the Intergalactic Mining Company and thrust it at Tyler. Tyler took it and looked at it.
For a sum of 2 billion credits, one Turl, duly authorized representative of the Party of the First Part, which shall hereafter be called the Party of the First Part, did hereby convey all lands, mines, mine sites, compounds, planes, tools, machinery, cars, tanks, on and on, to the Council of Earth, the duly elected and authorized government of said planet, to have and to hold forever and from this day forward. It was signed Turl, but Johnny, who knew Turl's signature, saw that it must have been written with the wrong paw. He started to put it in his pouch.
No, no! Shouted Brown Limper. That is the original.
He fussed around in the papers on his desk and handed over a copy and exchanged it for the original. Johnny put the copy in his pouch.
And not only that, said Brown Limper. The whole planet was the property of Intergalactic, and there is a deed for that as well.
He started to hand over the original, thought better of it, found a copy, and handed it over. Johnny glanced at it. Turl had actually sold these fools their planet.
The deeds are valid, said Brown Limper pompously. That is, they will be when fully recorded.
Where? Said Johnny.
On Cyclo, of course, said Brown Limper. Out of the goodness of his heart and in spite of the trouble, Turl himself will take these deeds there and get them fully recorded.
When? Said Johnny.
Just as soon as he can rebuild the apparatus you feloniously and maliciously destroyed, Tyler.
And he's taking the money with him?
Of course. He has to turn it into his company. He is an honest man.
Cyclo, corrected Johnny.
Cyclo, corrected Brown Limper, and then instantly became furious with himself for permitting this judicial proceeding to assume other than a judicial tone. So, therefore, said Brown Limper, reading, and as stated, notwithstanding, in accordance with the legal tribal rights of the said Johnny Goodboy Tyler, he is hereby placed under house arrest in his own home in the meadow, and is herewith and hereby not to quit said home and said vicinity until haled before a world court.
duly to be constituted under the authority of the council, said council being duly elected and invested with the total authority of total government of earth. Hey, man.
He had thought the last religious note gave it style, and he now sat proudly on the bench.
So, unless the prisoner has some last request?
Johnny had been thinking hard and quickly. He had never before paid much attention to Brown Limper, and such malice, falsehood, and evil was a little surprising. There was a fueled battle plane in the hangar at the compound.
Yes, said Johnny, there is a request. If I'm going to the meadow, I would like to pick up my horses first.
Those and your house are all the property you own now, so it is only fit that you do so. Out of courtesy and feelings for the rights of the prisoner, and possibly even out of a fatherly feeling for him as his own mayor, I grant request, so long as you go at once from there straight to the village in the meadow and into your house.
Johnny looked at him with contempt and strode from the room. Brown Limper, eyes over-bright, watched him go. That would be the end of Tyler. He let out a shuddering sigh. What a relief all this was. And how long sought? 20 years. No, this was not revenge. He had to do it. Duty demanded it. The peoples of Earth would now be wholly in good hands. His, Brown Limper's. He would do his very best for them, as he was doing now, despite the toil it cost him.